In the last 10 years, I've seen a lot of changes in my hometown, good and bad. I talked to my friend Jen Evans. She's a white woman, she's an artist like me, and she's an activist in the community. We met downtown to have a conversation. One thing I didn't know until this interview was how much Jen's upbringing was a mirror image to mine. She went to a mostly black elementary school.
And I was the minority in my elementary school. There was like 10 of us, 10 white people.
And what school was this?
Wiley Smith Elementary School.
I grew up black and middle class, but attended schools that were mostly white, surrounded by white culture. But even though Jen's parents sent her to a school with black kids and black teachers, that didn't necessarily mean that they were cool with black people.
Like most conservative Christian white people at the time, out in public, oh, everything's just fine and sweet, mm-hmm. and we love everybody, and da-da-da-da-da, all this stuff. But behind closed doors, it was like, don't trust the black people, don't like the black people, don't ever marry one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care, don't ever marry one, which the irony of that is my sister is married to a black guy with three beautiful interracial children.
By the way, my parents said similar things to me about white people. They may be nice, but don't trust them. Before we get into Jen's feelings about gentrification, let's meet the other person that I spoke with.
My name is Zaid Malik Shakur. I am an artist, educator, speaker, pseudo-activist.
He's in his early 40s. His upbringing was different from mine.
I graduated from the all-black Hillside High. Hillside High was all-black in 92. Mm. We've always been all-black. I was so proud of that fact, as a matter of fact.
When I asked Zaid for his thoughts on gentrification, his first answer was the one I expected.
The issue of gentrification among most black people is that a white family will move in, and the very first week that you have the block party, it's like, oh no, that don't work for us. We don't do block parties. Mm-hmm. We actually don't want any noise. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna write to our city legislator, and we're gonna actually get a noise ordinance passed. See what I'm saying? So they come in and they change the entire culture of your community.
But as we talk further, Zaid's views on gentrification turned out to be more complex. We'll come back to him in a minute. Jen, on the other hand, well, I'll let her say it.
Durham is going to be, in the next 5 to 10 years, a carbon copy of every little town that has been gentrified. Every little town that's on that top 10 list of places to live,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be a carbon copy of that.
One of Jen's worries is that gentrification is erasing the Southern culture that we all grew up with. Besides that, Jen's biggest fear is she won't be able to survive living on her own terms as an artist in a gentrified town with a rising cost of living.
I know that in the next 5 to 10 years, I'm not going to be able to afford to live in the Durham City area. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to live more in the county or roommate with someone.
Interestingly enough, Zaid has a more balanced view on gentrification.
Gentrification isn't always bad. There's white kids in my generation and the younger who understand the negative aspects of it, and so when they come into the community, they try to make themselves a part of it. So like, there are guys who open up restaurants, and their thing is, I don't want to have a high price point. I don't want to have a bunch of fancy dining. I want to be a part of this neighborhood. I don't want to be like, I don't want to come in here and separate people. I want to come in here and bring people together. The part of gentrification that's not spoken of is the black response to it. Oh man, white people coming here, now they're setting up the... That's the bitchy part. That's the complaining part. All right, but get past that, because that's not going to change the fact that they're coming in and setting up businesses. Mm-hmm. How about you figure out how to ally yourself with the forward-thinking white folk that are coming into your neighborhood. Mm-hmm.
So my question to him was, how can African Americans share in the benefits of gentrification instead of just being pushed aside by it?
Be a part of it on the business end. This is the best time to be black, because the powers that be that are fighting us, the system that's fighting us and killing us more than any time ever, we got everybody going, wait a minute, man, that ain't too cool. Mm-hmm. What y'all shooting black people for? Man, black dude ain't did nothing to y'all. There's a group of white people who are embarrassed by the past, and they're embarrassed by the people holding on to the past. And they're saying, why can't we just exist? Mm-hmm. Black people can do the thing, Hispanics can do the thing, Asians can do the damn thing, we can do the thing, everybody can do the thing.
So the possibility of gentrification can be positive?
It has to be, or it can be negative. But again, it goes back to the dominating conqueror. The conqueror can be benevolent as an explorer, or he can be detrimental as a conqueror. Either way, you know, they're gonna do it. Move into my neighborhood. Don't stop me doing the house parties. Be a part of the party. Bring your friends to the block party so we can have white and black people partying, as opposed to, oh, that's the white family that doesn't speak to anybody. Gentrification can hurt or it can heal us. It's up to us to exploit, because this is business, ain't never personal, and it's always green.
Gentrification definitely has its negative consequences, but I agree with Zaid. If we bring everyone to the table, black, white, brown, rich and poor, working together, maybe we can build a better future for Durham.